let's get going. I'm gonna do a little spiel here, and then I'm gonna introduce you, and we'll take off. Okay. Hi everyone, it's Jenny Heckman here for Jenny's Tattletales, and today we have Deborah Young, who wrote this incredible book called Gabriel's Great Perhaps. It's a spiritual humor, drama, and fiction. So it's kind of a little bit different than what we've normally done on here. But as you know, I really love different genres, and I like to have different people come on. So this is going to be really fascinating. Welcome, Deborah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So we kind of already talked a little bit when we were first discussing, but about whether or not this is a true story versus a fictional story. And why don't you just give us a brief little thing on what this book is, how did it come about, those kinds of things?
Well, you know, the characters came to me, you know, really unbidden, and each character kind of introduced themselves to me, and I had no intention of writing, not a novel anyways. And the, you know, I felt really obligated to kind of show up. I thought it felt choiceless. It felt like I had to show up and start writing. And I've never written a novel, but not a novel before. I've written many times before, but not really a full novel. And so I showed up and started writing, and I felt like a scribe, you know, that I was taking notes at times. And it'd be wonderful when I felt like they were writing the book. I couldn't type fast enough. But as anyone has written knows, you're going to run into plot holes at times, and you're like, you know, how do I work with this? Like, tell me. And so, you know, being open to all of that is an amazing experience writing it. And you know, the characters again obviously feel very real to me. Only one of the characters, you know, is based semi on my partner, who is a German Buddhist. And the book itself is there's seven characters. Seven people from different cultures and different professional backgrounds, cultures, and belief systems, who all die, you know, these kind of more or less quirky deaths, and they end up in an afterlife that does not jibe with their afterlife expectations. And if they're coming from different belief systems, their expectations were all different. There is you know, and they have an angel navigator, Gabriel, who belongs to the order of Gabriel. And he, you know, they were all scheduled to die anyways. So they all get together, and he has to kind of shepherd them through and navigate. He calls himself a navigator, not the angel of death. He gets quite irritated at that. But they, you know, so they get together, and they are, you know, tensions are rising on Earth. It's interesting because when I wrote it, yeah, things felt divisive in the world anyways, but, you know, as one interviewer said, this could not be more fitting to now. And I started it about 5 years ago. Just the deep divisions and the rising crises, and this book speaks to that. And even if you're not, you know, terribly driven or inspired, rather, to read anything so-called spiritual, you don't have to with this book, you know. Characters represent, I think, a little piece of all our neuroses.
Oh, I love it. That's so great. It's so up my alley. I'm going to be getting it. I'm so excited to hear more about this. Now going into the whole COVID thing, what's the one positive thing that you have learned during and that you're capable of during this last year? What's something that you have learned in this last year that you didn't know about yourself before?
It's interesting because as you know, I'm an astrologer, and my whole business is self-awareness. So it's my job to always develop self-awareness. I actually did a little video on a Facebook page yesterday about I wanted people to see it took a global pandemic for me too. And it was really funny, and some of it was very funny, and some of it was very, you know, intense. And, you know, it's, I discovered that I learned I could actually take my vitamins every day. I decided that I'm actually open to hugs now, which I wasn't so much before, not blocked off.
But which is crazy, because we're supposed to social distance.
Of course, now, I think I'd like a hug now. And that I actually, you know, enjoy the word frig and friggin. you know, it certainly calls on all of us to be resilient. And, you know, I am by nature a very resilient person. So I don't know if there's anything really big that I've learned about myself. You know, I'm a big traveler. I love to travel anywhere and everywhere. And of course, can't do that, and that that's been okay, you know, yeah. that I'll be able to maybe sink into the situation and accept this is the way it is right now. Yeah. And you know, fortunately, I have the insight, the intel to know just when, how things will roll out more or less. And, you know, that we'll be, you know, resuming travel and all those good things again and hugging.
And hugging. Yeah. And in Europe and Canada, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So I actually have a boat up at Semiahmoo, which is, I'm not sure exactly where you're at in Canada, but we're right.
Halifax, right?
Oh, Halifax. Yes. Okay. So that's not, you're far yeah. from Vancouver then. I was going to say, I actually look over at Vancouver, you know, whenever we go up to the boat. So.
I'm right on the Atlantic Ocean and I can see the water outside my house.
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love that. Water's so healing too. So that's always kind of nice to be around when you're in your, yeah, I love that. So here's kind of an interesting one. And I always get the craziest answers on this one, but I love it. What is the most monumental thing you have learned in each decade of your adult life?
Right.
Ooh, it's meaty.
Well, this decade, I've learned that it's okay for me to really take time for me, that even though I'm in service, you know, it's really okay for me to say, you know, to take time for me. That may not sound monumental, but for me, it really is. And each of us have these, you know, these kind of energies that may not sound like a big deal, but they're really a big deal. In my 30s, I learned how brave I was. Yeah, and really learned how brave I was. A continuation of that in my 40s, and, you know, really enjoyed a lot of social things in my 40s. Yeah, I think that's about it.
I love that. Yeah. That's great. That's great. Finding your bravery is good for anyone, but I love it for women in particular, because it's just that empowerment piece, right? And I would assume that there's been challenges just doing what you do. I'm assuming that there's been challenges with that and needing to be brave about those things as well. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome.
The bravery. I think I did learn. I didn't learn about... you know, I grew up in an all-female environment, and it's and my mother had to be doing all things. So I just assumed the world worked that way, that women did everything. So it was a real shock when I discovered that other people didn't think the same way. It was really like, what do you mean? Women can and do everything.
yeah.
That was a big learning curve for me, actually. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. So now you have said that there's several characters in your book, and some of them are men, some of them are women. So do you have a challenge? Was it hard writing from the opposite sex point of view for you?
Not at all. And I was surprised with that. I didn't know how I would be. All I knew was I felt like I was given this quest and that I had to show up. So I didn't know how I would be with it. And I found dialogue really, really easy for both genders. And I would credit my work for that, because I'm dialoguing with people from all over the place all the time. So I'd really credit my work for that. And my editor took note. She said, so many people really struggle with dialogue, and I found it just easy.
Yeah, I actually find dialogue pretty easy too. It's, you know, if you listen to enough people, it's kind of, you know, if you listen, you know, not necessarily think about what you're going to say, but if you're listening, you can hear an awful lot in people's dialogue. So
you can active listening. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Do you have a favorite quote?
Ooh, that's an excellent question. I'll have to think about that if I could book
a little bit. We'll come back to it.
People, different readers will give me quotes of things that they found really meaningful. And I will like, oh, interesting that you found that meaningful. And I'm happy you did. But I wouldn't have seen it personally as meaningful, but they have. So yeah,
they found something in it. They found a seed there somewhere. Oh, okay, well, we're going to come back to that one. Well, now... this is usually written from like the author perspective, but this could go with what you do, your regular business, and then also into your new business here. Have you ever had a crazy fan experience? And if so, what's the craziest fan experience? Or I guess in this world, I don't know what would be the equivalent of that, but that you could share. And if you don't want to share, that's fine too.
I think just people, you know, you're in your own world, you're walking down the sidewalk and somebody like, oh my God, you're that woman. that's always a little bit, disorienting. I think that might be, or I'm your biggest fan, and you know, I'm just this modest little Canadian woman, you know, so that take me back when that's said. And yeah.
So that kind of feeling of familiarity when you know, this is a brand new person.
I know you and you, yeah. You know, you've been part of my life and I don't know them. Yeah, that's always,
It's kind of a compliment and a little bit crazy all at the same time. So it's, that's cool. Is there a message in your novels that you would like your readers to grasp? Is there a deep meaning here that you'd like people to understand?
There's actually multiple meanings, and one I've had it compared to The Alchemist many times. It's kind of The Alchemist with humor, I guess, and certainly more characters. And you know, I love all the characters. I think you have to fall in love with your characters, even when they're really neurotic and nasty. You have to love them. It's so fun to write, a bad character. It allows you to be like a little bad. You know, mm-hmm. I love that. And overall, I wouldn't say there's one message other than unity and diversity, you know, and that to move forward, you know, we have to get on the same, not the same team. Everyone has their own unique perspective on life, and that's a good thing, but that everybody has something of value to offer, and that, you know, we have to have a little bit more respect for each other. So healing divisions is a big thing. And they do that in the book, even with, they're able to keep, you know, their own beliefs intact, you know, their own unique being intact. And because the mission, the stakes are so high in this book, because basically, you know, the biggest threat is the portal between heaven and earth is about to close. In Buddhist speak, that'd be a severance between the heart and mind. And so when that closes, our prayers can't go anywhere, you know, miracles can't happen. And after a while, the angels and the magical beings, so to speak, they would just fade into dim stars because they need us as much as we need them. Mm. And so that whole, we have to, you know, find a way of respecting differences, and that divisions have never worked, ever. They've never worked. In the book, they're able to unite, you know, for these missions. They have a few missions there, but they're able to unite and keep their own way of being.
That's fascinating. In regard to all the different religions and everything, to me, when you boil them all down to their elements, you have a lot of, it's so similar in all the different, you know, the supreme being, and you have all these different elements to different people and the different rules and the different, but they're all very, very similar. So I like the idea of when you boil things down, you know, we really aren't very different. And, you know, belief systems and things like that, you break them down into fundamental pieces, you know, we're pretty unified in I think in those things and what we want. And, you know, maybe
being a good person.
Maybe coming around to it comes in different, wrapped in different packages, but you know, the fundamental essence of it is that's beautiful. I'm very excited to read this book. I really am. I think this is going to be a great ride. Let me see, what was I going to ask you? You have to tell us, because I have one last question, but I want to, you have to tell us what your favorite quote is, if you can think on that anymore, or if you just
the book here.
Yes, please. Yes.
Yeah, it's and actually how I've been inscribing them is, and somebody gave me that idea because I was feeling a little awkward with it. And so what I do when I'm inscribing it is their name, obviously, and I flip open to a page, and whatever the first sentence I see, that's the.
I love that. That is a great idea.
I thought so. So it was, the best quote or the most important quote. I'm excited for you to read this. Let me see if there's something in here. The Gables Great Perhaps poses the questions, can we have unity and diversity, and can love trump distorted ego hell beliefs? It's the timeless power of love and hope, which... Mm. It's the timeless power of love and hope. One of the characters is an atheist, actually, and he's a real jerk. You can imagine he ends up being the project manager, much to the dismay of everybody, you know, else. The And it's any of the stories that he makes up. And again, this kind of reflects the stories we make up to make sense of our world, right? So he's making up these stories. He's in an afterlife that he doesn't believe in. You know, so at first he thinks he's, you know, it's his dead brain firing off these stories. He should have been a novelist because this is pretty imaginative. And then he decides he must be in a coma and he has somebody trying to write down his words, because when he wakes up, he's going to write a novel about these experiences. So it just reflects back how we will, you know, we will create stories to make sense of our reality, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So many layers really in the book, I find. There's a little cursing in there. I was about to say something, but I may have to, can you find a new inspiration?
I do think it's kind of interesting, that whole concept of having, you know, going in there with a, this is the way it's going to be. This is my belief system. And then you have to go in there and everything's just been thrown up in the air. That is a great premise. I just love that idea. You know, everybody's so, especially people that are just so devout in whatever their belief system is, to go in there and then
have it. Each of the characters are quite devout in their belief system. Yeah. It's interesting. And even the title, I had a few titles, and I'm asked through my work to title CDs and movies and so forth. And I'm a numerologist, so I do the numbers on it. Oh. But so I'm asked to do that all the time. And I'm actually good at titles, except of course for my own book. And there was a few that were roaming around. And then I was reading about this 14th century monk. He was a monk, he was a philosopher, he was an astrologer, a physician, and kind of a crazy man. And he wasn't quite signed on to the idea that there was an afterlife. So his last words were, "And now I go into the great perhaps."
Oh, that's just so cool.
Okay, it's Gabriel's great perhaps.
So, okay, well that's interesting, because I was wondering about how the title came about, but that's a great story, and it's so true, right? I love that.
Yeah, it is. I can't find a quote right now.
It's okay. It's fine. Okay, well, so I guess my last question would be, what would you most like to say to the readers and listeners out there? What do you have to say that you would like to share?
I really believe in this, you know, the power to heal, and that this book, Gabriel's Great Perhaps, is another offering on my part that, you know, you personal healing, global healing, and that, again, how important it is to just accept each person as they are. You know, I'm going to be doing some promotions in May. I have the odd contest that goes on in my Instagram and Facebook pages on Gabriel's Great Perhaps, and some more media thing coming up as well. So it's, you know, stay tuned. It's, you know, it's a fun read. It's, I feel dial into it wherever you are. There's some people that are reading it over and over again, which is a good sign, I think. I'll read books repeatedly. I'll only watch a movie once, but books I'll read 10 times. But so it's, you know, it's a book that is, again, light and funny, but also has a lot of layers of drama to it. And again, just how important it is for us to, you know, kind of get our act together, and that these divisions are not serving anybody.
I totally agree. Well, I don't even know if it's appropriate for me to ask, but when do we get to open up? When do we get to travel to Canada?
there'll be more on us, because we're stricter than the US has been. Right now where I am, we're under strict lockdown. It started early this week, and you know, there's grocery stores are open, but not much else. And we were in one of the safest places in the world for about 6 months. But now we're not. And it just turned very quickly, which I actually had predicted that it would turn very quickly in the last month, and it has. But everything will be fine. It wouldn't be until 2022 before we're able to really cross borders. You know, Canada, we're going to be traveling into country, my partner and I, probably late August, but we'll have to go through a bit of a rigmarole. You know, we have to spend 3 nights in a hotel, then go home and quarantine for 14 days.
Oh boy. Oh, yeah. We're getting ready to go to a wedding in Mexico. Kind of a surrogate son of mine is going to be getting married. And so, you don't, when you're traveling internationally, now you're going through a whole lot of other different things. So it is, it's going to be fascinating. So I am very excited though for Canada to open up. We're just so close in our boat, and I can hardly wait to go. I love it up there.
Well, we can't, you know, we're such a, especially this part of the country, we're, you know, we have a lot of people from all over the world that come here in the summertime. This is really a beautiful province, and you know, we're missing people. We're missing people. It's so this summer it's definitely not going to happen. You know, the earliest I can see would be, you know, very early in 2022. And there'll be easing of some restrictions, but it's still going to be, we have to kind of accept these things right now. They won't be forever, you know, they're not going to be forever. Some extra hurdles right now in terms of traveling, but it won't be forever.
Oh, thank you so much for coming on. You are a fascinating woman. And this sounds like a really, the thing I really, really am excited about is it's very different. And I'm always looking for books that are really, really different and have a different take on things, a different way of looking things. It's a new spin. So I really am excited to read it. And I wanted to say thank you so much for coming on. And if you'd like to know more about Deborah, you can go on to gabrielsgreatperhaps.com, where all of these events that she's talking about, you'll be able to have some information there. And she's also on Jenny's Tattletales, and we have all of her links as well. So again, thank you so much, Deborah, for coming on.
Thank you, Jenny. And it's been a real pleasure. You two are just really delightful. You've got great energy.
Oh, good. I love that.
Oh, yes, and then come back for the sequel, because it. Yes. You told us right in the beginning, you're writing the...
I'm excited about that. It's a, the ending is a cliffhanger in Gabriel's Grave, perhaps, which, so a sequel has to happen.
Okay. And, and I'm sorry, when do you think that one will be done?
Ooh, it wouldn't be done till probably mid-2022.
Okay, cool. Well, hopefully you'll come back on and we'll be able to talk again.
I would love to.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you again and have a great, great day.
Oh, thank you so much. Take
care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, I think that's going to wrap it up for Jenny's Tattletales today. I hope you have an absolutely splendid day, and I want to really thank you for joining me, and I hope to hear from you and see you next time.